Cáceres.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to the Wednesday, August the 5th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. Joined again, as we are, by Daryl Eberhardt for the second installment of our inquiry into the origins, history, and impact of Catholicism and Papal Rome. You won't want to miss a moment of today's two-hour broadcast. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call now for those with unlimited long-distance access. Or in the Austin, Texas area, call in at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's BVL, just like Become Vocal Local. BVLhost@centurytel.net, while my little website is getting a facelift. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Here's a big shout-out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. And our listener number, once again, is 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. The equities rally continues. Precious metals in the U.S. dollar are steady. Crude oil is down. We'll talk about that in a moment. The history of the Romish Church with researcher Daryl Eberhardt will be the main focus and drive of this two-hour broadcast. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Wednesday, August the 5th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was off its high closing yesterday, down $2.30 so far in early morning trading, trading at $965.40. We're on the upper side of the 950 level right now. Silver was up 11 cents this morning at $14.74. Platinum was trading up $10 at $1,277. Palladium up $2, trading at $277 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, 962.30 for a low, 968.50 for a high, a spread of about $6. At $965.40 an ounce, gold is up $92.60 year on year for a 10.60% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix, the Morning Gold Fix, the members of the London Gold Market Fixing Limited, which consists of Barclays Group, Scotia Mocatta, the Deutsche Bank, Societe Generale, and HSBC. The boys set the gold fix this morning at 964.50, and you can see we're a buck above that right now. In the equities, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 34 points at 9,320. The NASDAQ was up 3 at 2011. The S&P was up 3 at 1,006. Crude oil off 22 cents so far in early morning trading at $71.20. And the U.S. dollar index up 8 basis points, trading at 77.81. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial intermission with our special guest, Daryl Eberhardt. Be right back.
Of the
the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, August the 5th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We definitely come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, my name is William Roberts. Today, I'm joined by our returning guest, Daryl Everhart. We're going to take a look, a real serious look, and hopefully begin continue the second in what may be a series of talks on this particular topic. But we're going to look into the origins, the history, and the impact of Catholicism and Papal Rome as it shaped history, not only just in Europe, but all around the world. And I want to just welcome back Daryl Everhart. Good morning, Daryl. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Will, and it's good to be on with you again, William. Can we start with a very short quote that I think maybe we ought to always start with, and it's by George Santayana.
Absolutely.
That U.S. philosopher and writer who was born in Spain, he died in 1952, he said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And boy, is that ever true. I've seen it in some other forms and the shapes. But what happens throughout history, and as you mentioned, we're going to be marching through history. We're going to be starting at the First Crusade that was called by Pope Urban II. But we're marching through history because we don't want to repeat the same mistakes that have been made here in the United States in the near future. And what we see when we march through history is that these people that work behind the scenes to foment wars and revolutions, to assassinate heads of state, they're kind of cunning and sneaky and smart in some ways, and yet they use the same template or blueprint over and over again. The location may change. Some of the actors, of course, will change at the new location. The time changes. But often the game plan is almost exactly word for word for something that they did maybe even 200 years prior.
You know, I've tried to share with the audience along that line the way that I style it, Daryl. It's simplistic. Some people can wrap their minds around it. But this cabal, if you will, seem to operate like a small-town football coach. They really know but one play. They're right up the middle for 3 yards, and it really doesn't matter who gets hurt, who gets damaged, who gets their nose or broken. It's the same play, and they roll it out. It, you know, no matter how the calendar changes, the pages seem to change, the years seem to change, but they see just keep dragging the same game plan out. So you're absolutely right. Let's go ahead.
Right, and since you mentioned, we're talking about these missing gaps, and it's going to involve the Roman Catholic Church, or what I call today Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome. I just always want to throw out this little disclaimer so that folks know that I'm not a Catholic basher or anti-Catholic as far as individual Roman Catholics go, because it would be very difficult for me to hate individual Roman Catholics. When I married one in the late 60s, when my dad was Roman Catholic all my life growing up, when 90% of my relatives and friends are Roman Catholic. So I love many individual Roman Catholics. So if you're a Roman Catholic, hang with me. We're dealing with the history of your church basically here. A lot of the, what I call missing gaps, it's the stuff that you just don't see in most American or encyclopedias that are at least published in America, or in the history textbooks that are published here in this country. And a lot of that stuff, if it was ever there, has been removed by threat of Roman Catholic boycott. So let's start in with 1095, because we have Pope Urban II. He's calling for this first crusade, the first time we ever in history hear that we have a religious leader calling for a massive crusade to recover the Holy Land. And here's what, and throughout this I'll be giving you a lot of interesting quotes from other folks. Here's what historian Will Durant has written concerning this, what I would call a papal instigated murder spree. He says, when in 1095 Pope Urban II proclaimed the first crusade, some Christians, now I'm going to correct him there, they weren't Christians, they were Roman Catholics. So there is a difference. There's Bible-believing Christians throughout history, the Albigenses, the Paulicians, the Bogomils, etc. And the Roman Catholic Church is an institution off to itself. So he should have used the word Roman Catholics. And let me, before I even start a quote again, I want to say something to them that I said to you just minutes ago when we were off air. And that is that Christianity in general, and I'm talking Bible-believing Christianity, has been given a very, very bad name in a lot of parts of the world, and especially in the Middle East, because of the Crusades that went through there, because the Muslims, even to this day, still think of, when they hear the word Crusade, they think of all Christians coming down to kill Muslims, Jews, and even Orthodox Christians. But in reality, the armies were made up 99.9% of Roman Catholics. So let's start with the quote again. When in 1095 Pope Urban II proclaimed the first crusade, some Christians thought it desirable to kill the Jews in Europe before proceeding so far to fight Turks in Jerusalem. Godfrey of Bouillon, having accepted the leadership of the crusade, announced that he would avenge the blood of Jesus upon the Jews, leaving not one of them alive, and his companions proclaimed their intention to kill all Jews who would not accept Christianity. In other words, I'm adding this, Roman Catholicism. And boy, that happened so frequently during this time of the Crusades, through city after city in Europe that they went through. Jews were given the choice of convert or die, something that we saw later, 1941 to 1945, with many forced conversions, convert or die, in Croatia. The next year, 1096, we find these Roman Catholic crusaders. They slaughter half the Jews of Worms, and that's spelled W-O-R-M-S, Worms, Germany, while passing through that city. 1098, we have Roman Catholic crusaders, again sent on a holy mission by the Pope of Rome, Pope Urban II. They reach the walls of Antioch. Upon capturing that city on June 3, 1098, the crusaders slaughtered almost all of the inhabitants, men, women, and children, And it didn't matter whether there was Muslims there, whether there were Jews there, whether there were Eastern Orthodox Christians there. These Roman Catholic crusaders massacred just about every single one of them. Then in 1099, they finally, these Roman Catholic crusaders, again sent on that holy mission by the Pope of Rome, Urban II, they reached the walls of Jerusalem. And when they sieged the city, lay siege to the city for a while, and when they capture the city on July 15th, 1099, these Roman Catholic crusaders herded the Jews into a synagogue and then set it on fire. And that repeated over and over in history. They also butchered almost every single inhabitant in the city, men, women, and children, Jews, Muslims, and probably even a few Orthodox Christians, Eastern Christians, who were not adherents of the Roman Catholic Church. From what I've read, approximately 70,000 Muslims and Jews were massacred after the city was captured. And I think it was also when we were talking off air, I just read in a book about a short history of Christianity, how that in those narrow streets, because the crusaders felt that a bunch of the people might have swallowed gold, whenever they killed them, they would cut them open, and they said the blood was ankle to knee deep in some of those very narrow streets there in Jerusalem.
Well, you only have to look at some of the archaeological record to get an idea for what we talk about when you talk about the straight gate or the narrow way or the narrow street. This is not something that was designed for anything other than individuals to walk along, sometimes two abreast. Folks, we'll be right back after this first intermission. Stay with us. More to come.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the problem.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to survivaloven.com. That's survivaloven.com.
And we have returned visiting with our guest today, Daryl Everhart. We're going through and tackling some of the really tough issues, things that oft times in the past have just slipped through the cracks, not only in our educational system, but oft times in the history books and in the encyclopedias. And being an encyclopedist myself studying it, I know that you have to really dig to find information. You can, but you're going to have to put all of the pieces together for yourself. You're going to have to connect the dots. And then you're going to have to go up and away from the encyclopedias and the dictionaries and the textbooks and do independent reading. As, Daryl, you've done so much of this, let's pick it up. So far, we've really only opened up with the first 3 years of this period of Crusades. Continue, please.
Right, and I wanted to draw something to the modern era here, and that is that when I left the Army in 1985, actually I was stationed at Fort Huachuca my last 4 years in the U.S. Army at their intelligence center and school there, and I sponsored a lot of the Arab officers coming in. Many of them were Saudi, Arabian, a couple from Jordan, I think one from Tunisia. There were at least, I sponsored several from Egypt. As a matter of fact, Egypt and Saudi Arabia probably had the most officers from Arab countries that were coming to the U.S. to the school there. And even to that day, they remember the Christian Crusaders. I mean, the word crusade to many Arabs to this very day, you'll see the hair stand up on the back of their head because they've got long memories in the Middle East about what happened when the Crusaders took Antioch and especially Jerusalem and the butchery that took place, because whenever the Muslims seized control of Jerusalem centuries before the Christian Roman Catholic Crusaders came in and took it, they were very lenient with the Christians that lived there, actually very kind, allowed them to go to take pilgrimages and everything. Now, of course, when the Turks took it later, there were some nasty things done to some of the people doing pilgrimages, but basically the Muslims treated them very well, and so they did not understand this horrible butchery, rape, pillaging, and plundering that this supposed professional army of crusaders coming through did when they hit Jerusalem. So whenever I call them Baby Bush Jr., use the word crusade for what's going on in the Middle East today, you could bet that there were a lot of people in the Middle East, mostly Muslims, of course, but there's also some Christians living there and some Jews. There's long memories, and that's why I say we need to tie this stuff together and show that while they keep using the same blueprint over and over again, that it reappears in modern day, and a lot of the stuff that did happen in the past still has a serious effect on many people around the world when they think about it. So let's start with the 13th century, and it saw its fair share of what I call Roman Catholic mass murder. And from time to time, I'll give you a definition. Some I've made up during my various writings, but most of them I'm taken from other books like the wonderful Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language. So let's start off with the definition of Inquisition, and meaning number four is in some Catholic countries, and he means Roman Catholic countries, a court or tribunal established for the examination and punishment of heretics. This court was established in the 12th, and near the end of the 12th, but some people, the newer dictionary I have says the 13th century, by Father Dominique, who was charged by Pope Innocent III with orders to excite Catholic princes, he means rulers, Roman Catholic rulers, and people to extirpate, and that's a fancy word for destroy completely, heretics. And I don't have my definition of heretic here, but I'll give it out of my head, paraphrasing from something I've written before. And heretic is something that the Roman Catholic Church stuck on anybody that did two things. Number one, they questioned the temporal power of the Pope or the authority, in other words, the authority of the Pope to rule over princes and peoples all around the world. Or number two, that they dared to question any of the unbiblical doctrines and practices in the Roman Catholic Church, such as indulgences. Either one of those could get you labeled a heretic, whether you were outside of the Roman Catholic Church or even inside. And later on, we'll talk about a guy named Girolamo Savonarola, who was a Dominican, a wonderful, godly man who led a great revival in Florence, and he made one little mistake. Oh, he criticized the corrupt papal court, and that got him labeled a heretic, and he was excommunicated and murdered. So, but as we go through this, William, I think they're going to see that whether you're Roman Catholic or non-Catholic, if you fall afoul of popes, when we get the last 400 years of history, the Jesuit order, they have no compunction or no, they won't hesitate to kill you. Let's put it that way. You could be the godliest Roman Catholic in the world, and if they see you as a threat, they will kill you. So the next crusade that we're going to look at, and a lot of people don't understand that crusades were not just against, quote, Muslims. This is, we're looking at a period, 1208 to 1226, we get the Albigensian Crusades, which, if you go back just about 5 years earlier, some historians say from 1203 to 1808 was the official period of the Inquisition. So let's just briefly mention that, because it did kick off with the Albigensian Crusades. And that, it ran, as I said, officially until 1808, and when Napoleon's troops went through some places like Spain, in Madrid, they actually found convents and monasteries where the monks were still torturing people as late as 1808. So we need to keep that in mind. And reputable secular historians with no axe to grind against the Catholic Church conservatively estimate, and I've got this from at least two or three sources, that the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church was responsible for the murder of up to, and listen to this, folks, 50 million. Let me repeat that, 50 million innocents, men, women, and children. Children could be tortured down to the age of 12. And many of these innocents were brutally tortured prior to being executed by the state, and that's how the church tried to wash its hands of it and said, well, it was the state that killed them. Well, yeah, but they did them on the orders of the Roman Catholic authorities, the inquisitors and the local prelates. And believe me, if you were a Roman Catholic sheriff, or jailer, and you didn't jump when they said to torture these people and execute them, guess what? You got hauled in before the Inquisition.
And I think one of the things that the audience needs to understand, too, at this juncture, Daryl, is that when we look at things like Guantanamo, the internment center there, we look over at Abu Ghraib and think about the horrific deeds done there. We heard just the other day where the National Guard is recruiting for internment officers all across America. This idea that the Inquisition came and went, and oh, it was just a horrible chapter in the past, I think we're only foolish, like you started out with the quotation, that if we can't remember the past, we're definitely condemned to repeat it. It's coming on us, it's at us, it never goes away, it's the same bad penny.
Yeah, and I have a 1955 World Scope Encyclopedia that my mom bought for my brother and I when we were, I think, in junior high school. And it really whitewashes the Inquisition. It says, the Inquisition, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but it basically says it wasn't that big of a deal. Torture was used all over Europe and everybody did it, and it wasn't that big of a deal, and so the Catholic Church shouldn't be picked on for it. But no, they took it to a much, much higher level. As a matter of fact, they would bring doctors, medical physicians in whenever the person being tortured, the victim, looked like they might die or something. Well, they would revive them, heal up their wounds a little bit, and then begin the torture over again. And they did this, you know, over and over and over until they could get a confession. And sometimes people did die under torture. The church didn't want them to die under torture because they wanted to be executed, most of them publicly, as an example. And as I mentioned, many a Roman Catholic sheriff and mayor and jailers also would not dare to go against the Catholic Church.
Got to jump in. We're out of time in this segment, folks. We'll be back on the other side. Listen to our commercial sponsors and support them, won't you?
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com. You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products. Emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. And in the Austin, Texas area, it's 512-904-8014. If you've got a question or a comment for Daryl or myself in regards to this topic, please do feel free to call in. You know, Daryl, one of the things that strikes me as I have gone back in my own research and revisited some of these issues that I studied years ago, it seems as though the adage to the victor goes the spoils is certainly wasn't lost on the Catholic institution. Wherever and whenever in Papal Rome's history it was necessary to establish a principle or a precept, these folks were not at all averse to going in and creating false documentation or destroying evidence and whatnot. And I weep when I think about the Near East and the Middle East, the Far East even. The history that has been either vacuumed up and stored away in the catacombs of under the Vatican or in Christchurch, Oxford in England or in the Smithsonian Institute, all the archaeological history of the world, taking away our opportunity to know truth and to know our history. And again, folks, dear listeners, take a look at the maps. The maps that you see today, these are very, very modern maps. These are a lot of, in many cases, post-World War II maps. There's been a lot of change, a lot of road maps, a lot of boundaries have been changed over the years, and at this particular time, in the 1090s to the 1200s. We talk about the Albigensians and the Waldensians and the others. There's whole sections of France and Spain that no longer have the same boundaries or look the same, and I must say that there's a completely different population occupying the ground. But do, Daryl, pick it up right there.
Right, and so we're talking about the Inquisition here, and what's kind of neat whenever I'm doing an interview with somebody, whenever I find a good quotation, I throw it into my little book of quotations on one of my electronic files here, and I've got 393 pages of quotes, and it just jogged my mind about Peter de Rosa, who wrote about the Inquisition. By the way, folks, a lot of the material that when I give you quotes, a lot of them are from Roman Catholic authors. I mean, some people were Roman Catholics and came out, but some of them, like Peter de Rosa, I believe he's still alive. Peter de Rosa styles himself a patriotic Roman Catholic. But here's what Peter de Rosa, a Roman Catholic historian who wrote this tremendous book, Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papacy, and you can do a Google search on that on the Internet for it. It's not published any longer, no longer published, but you can get a used copy like I did. Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papacy, here's what Papacy, Peter de Rosa says, what history shows is that for more than six centuries, without a break, the papacy was the sworn enemy of elementary justice. Of 80 popes in a line, let me repeat that because that's important. Other people have verified this. Of 80 popes in a line from the 13th century on, not one of them disapproved of the theology and apparatus of Inquisition. On the contrary, one after another added his own cruel touches to the workings of this deadly machine. And again, that's from a Roman Catholic writing about. So some of the best historians have been Roman Catholic in writing about European history. And I mentioned that many of the people were tortured brutally. Well, many of those after the torture, they were executed. Many of them were executed by being burned alive at the stake, and frequently the authorities used green or wet wood to prolong their agony for the greatest possible amount of time. And there's a good book that tells the story of a lot of the individual Christian martyrs who suffered horribly at the hands of these Roman Catholic inquisitors. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Again, do a Google-style search. Lots of people sell that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. So let's get into these Albigensian Crusades, because you know what? William, probably about 15 years ago, I didn't know about these. I've got probably three or four really good books that either are written about them or that deal with about three or four chapters on them, books that are written about genocide. So here, these crusades in southern France, you mentioned how maps change or population groups disappear. 1208 to 1226 is what they were called, the Albigensian Crusades, and they weren't against Muslims. They were against Bible-believing Christians, and they took place during this 18-year period. And what we have is at 1208, you find Pope Innocent III proclaiming a crusade against these Bible-believing Albigensian Christians in southern France, and Roman Catholic armies, professional army after army, just as they did on the Waldenses, were sent to exterminate these people. And I think it's important to point out that most of these people were just simple Bible-believing farmers, peasants. Most of them had small villages. But basically, the entire population of southern France were Albigenses. There were a few Roman Catholics living amongst them. But the whole southern a third of France basically had become Bible-believing Christian rather than Roman Catholic. And actually some of these people had lived there before even the Roman Catholic Church took power in that area. But on July 22nd, 1209, we find Roman Catholic crusaders butchering approximately 20,000 men, women, and children in the French city of Béziers. And by the way, there were some Roman Catholics in that city that rather than turn over the people, they fought with them against the Roman Catholic army.
Well, there was a reason for that, though. One of the reasons that I've come across, and over the weekend, I went back and availed myself of a book that was sent to me years ago by John Daniel, the author of The Grand
Design.
Yeah,
Grand Design Exposed.
The Grand Design Exposed, and I've communicated with John on telephone and letters. A wonderful man, a great Christian. But book that he sent me was The Perfect Heresy. It's the revolutionary life and death of the medieval Cathars, or Kathars. And there was a considerable difference in point of view of the people when you can say Bible believing, but it's more scripture believing, more scriptural interpreting. They were rejected the Old Testament out of hand almost, and they had a different way of life, folks. They had a different point of reference. They were dualist or dualism. Manichaean is another way of looking at that. We've studied that here on this broadcast, Daryl, as opposed to a monotheistic thing or even a monolithic sort of a beast system that the papacy has. So we can come in and understand that there's far more to Catholicism and the Catholic Church and Papal Rome and all of that than just a religion. We're actually talking about a global system of government, at least European at the time, and then that spread to this hemisphere as well. So these people, the Albigenses, the Cathars, the Manichaeans, etc., and there are Manichaeans today in Iraq, by the way, but there are very few left, but they do exist, but there is a difference in point of view. In other words, here are the documents, this is the story, this is what we've got. When we have the canonized text, and this is what we have from other doctrines, the Gnostic texts and things. And so they adopted a different point of reference, a different viewpoint. And what it was actually doing, it was opening up another way of relationship with their their spiritual nature that would undermine the Catholic institution. And for this reason, largely, they were being persecuted and exterminated because it was challenging their doctrine and challenging their dogma.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because I'm holding the book right in my hand, The Perfect Heresy, The Life and Death of the Cathars by Stephen O'Shea. Now, the only thing I would disagree in the book is that the vast majority, and this is brought out by a man, an ex-priest of 22 years named Richard Bennett. The vast majority of the people were not Manichaeans or dualists, the Cathars. The Albigensian Christians, probably, I would guess, 90-95% were just simple Bible-believing Christians. They actually had the original Latin Vulgate, not the Catholic Church version that came out later. And so, like I said, they were Bible, and some of the quotes I'm going to give here We'll bring some of this out. But they basically challenged, number one, the Pope's authority to rule over all Christians, his temporal power and spiritual power. But they also were condemning the horrible debauchery of the Roman Catholic priesthood, and that didn't go over well. And what started to happen in southern France, and it's brought out on a DVD called The Inquisition, 605 Years of Papal Torture and Death that Richard Bennett put out, is what they started happening in southern France was a lot of Roman Catholics started deserting the church. And it was like an open wound, it was hemorrhaging, and the Catholic Church never liked to lose members, as we saw during the Reformation when hundreds of thousands of Roman Catholics began to leave the church. And so again, I just want to bring that point out, is that not only did the Roman Catholic armies basically exterminated the population of southern France, these Albigensian Christians, also called Cathars. But then they tried to destroy all the records that these people had, their books, and then they tried to destroy their...
I got to jump in right there. We're right up against the break, folks. We'll be back in three. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And we're back visiting today with Daryl Everhart. We're going into some really tough issues here, things that people generally don't like to talk about, and they certainly don't like to put it on the air. And I so value Daryl's research. He's gone so much further in this particular line of understanding than I have that I like to get clarification on points. And folks, if there's any questions that you have as we're going through, please call in when you have those questions rather than waiting later. Where we've gone off to maybe something else. So, again, that call-in number for the rest of this hour and all of the next is 866-841-1065, and your calls are certainly welcome. Daryl, okay, let's go back now. We're looking at 1208, 1226, this crusade against the Albigensians, rewriting the map of what will become France, but certainly wasn't France at that time. Languedoc, however you pronounce it, and Aquitaine and Toulouse and Béziers, those places. Let's continue right in there.
Right, and when we were closing up there, I was mentioning what the Albigensian Christians were. The vast majority of them were Bible-believing Christians. It was only a small minority of the people in southern France that were actually Manichaeans or held to the dualist approach. And this is brought out well by a researcher named Richard Bennett, a priest of ex-priest of 22 years. I think he was a Dominican. But this is the only thing I'm going to give them. I think they really need to get this DVD. It's only $8 postage paid, and they don't take credit card orders, so I need to give them an address. But you need to get this DVD. Just remember the name, The Inquisition. The subtitle I'll give to you, but you don't need to write down, is 605 Years of Papal Torture and Death. It's 58 minutes color, and it's really professionally done. What's really neat about it, William, is that right on the front here it says permission given to copy. So to shipping to locations in the USA is $8, postage paid, $8, and you get a 58 minutes. Now, the first two-thirds of the DVD deal with that, what we told you, the Inquisition that took place 1203 to 1808, according to Richard Bennett, who hosts this DVD with or co-narrates, I guess I should say, with another historian from England, Michael D. Simien. But the first two-thirds deals with all of the torture devices that were used, when it started out, how they brought people before. Of course, you weren't allowed to see your accuser or anything. But anyway, the two-thirds deals with that period of papal torture and death from 1203 to 1808. But what's really interesting is all of a sudden then they shift to the modern, pretty much what I call modern-day history, and they go, the last third of the DVD deals with that horrible, Avro Manhattan called the Vatican's Holocaust, that religious genocide with forced conversions that took place in Croatia, fascist Roman Catholic Croatia from 1941 to 1945. So this 58-minute DVD, I think, tremendous, what we used to call in the military, bang for the buck. In other words, you have a military weapon that you purchase for a small amount of money and it can kill a lot of people. Well, this is a great informational tool that can inform a lot of people. So if you want to get it, it's called The Inquisition, 58-minute DVD for $8, and you would make your check or money order payable to Richard Bennett. And Bennett is spelled with two N's and two T's, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. Check or money order for $8 to Richard Bennett, and I'll give the address twice. Box 192, Del Valle, Texas, and Del Valle is two words, D-E-L space, V as in victory, A-L-L-E, comma, Texas, T-X, 78617. So again, $8 to Richard Bennett, box 192, Del Valle, Texas, two words, D-E-L space, V-A-L-L-E, Texas, 78617. And do you have that DVD? Because I have a couple extra copies if you'd like me to mail you one.
I don't have that one yet. Now, again, give me the title. I was writing it down just to make sure that you gave us enough time, and you have. Give me the title again, please.
Okay, the main title is The Inquisition.
Okay. Okay, so, folks, it's The Inquisition. The place to get it is from Richard Bennett, one of the facilitators of that DVD, narrator, Richard Bennett, and it's box 192, Del Valle, Texas, and the zip code is 78617, $8 check or money order for a 58-minute DVD. Well, this is the kind of material, really, that, you know, it takes a long time, folks, to dig through flea markets and sort through things. It takes a long time to find pieces of information in this thing. As we try and reconstruct, if you will, and some people call it revisionist history, I just basically look at it as finding all of these missing links and of history, things that have been suppressed. In a legal maxim in Latin, suppressio virae, you might have heard of that, Daryl, but it's basically that the suppression of truth in Latin. And suppression of truth has, for centuries, been understood as fraud. And so when we have from the churches, when we have from our governments, if you will, when we have from our educators, if you will, suppression of truth, it's really a running fraud on the minds of the people. And unfortunately, and we're going to get to that when we get into the Jesuits, and definitely, but also we need to understand that, you know, you get the same kind of stuff coming out of the Lutherans as well. The idea of coming to the point of actually establishing schools, the people who control the schools, the people who control the curriculum and the information, control the minds and shape the reality of their people. And so it's so important that we are always trying to be led into the truth and kept from error.
Yeah, what I really liked on that DVD, and by the way, God willing, I'll get you a copy out today because I've still got about four or five left. I bought like 50 of them and just started passing them out to people. What's really good on the DVD is when he's talking about the Albigensian Christians, he brings out that point that not only did professional Roman Catholic armies go down and kill these, again, mostly farmers and peasants, but after they killed them, then they tried to destroy their reputation, tried to destroy all of their writings. And it's only through some of the history that reformers knew about these people and that they brought out that showed that, again, they were primarily Bible-believing Christians who just They just didn't want to knuckle under to papal Rome, didn't want Rome coming down and setting bishops up over them. And that happened all over in Europe. In England, they had a biblical brand of Christianity, the Celtic Christians, and basically Rome came up along, papal Rome did, with the Roman troops and that, and it basically they gave these people a choice of, hey, if there was any local Celtic Christian leaders, become a bishop. And if they didn't, they either had the local provincial chiefs murder them or drive them into exile, or they stuck their own guy in charge in case the guy wouldn't agree to switch over. But this happened throughout history, and to just murder a bunch of innocent people and then start labeling them all, not just heretics, but calling them all dualists and Manichaeans, etc., when the vast majority of them weren't. And it was basically a rape, pillage, and loot thing where they released rapists and murderers out of the prison, by the way, to supplement the regular professional troops who had just come up from the Holy Land. And then Pope Innocent III supplements them with, again, rapists and murderers they let out of prison. And they just said, go kill, have fun, rape, do anything you want, take all the possessions that you want. And, of course, then all the lands came under the temporal power of the Pope again. So let's get back into that a little bit, because Béziers was where we left off. And then Béziers was meant to be like a terrorist event to scare the rest of the Albigensian Christians and the few Catholics living amongst them to knuckle under the Pope's temporal authority, but it didn't work. But so they murdered those 20,000 men, women, and children in 1209 at Béziers. Well, 1219, we find this same Roman Catholic crusaders. They slaughter all the inhabitants, again, men, women, and children, of the market center of Marmande, M-A-R-M-A-N-D-E, in Western, and you said the word, I believe correctly, Languedoc, in southern France. But the result of the Albigensian Crusades, basically, is that these Bible-believing Albigensian Christians were totally exterminated. And let's go, we'll cover some quotes, and maybe we can get at least one or two in before the break. But Dr. Henry H. Halley, in his book, tells us the following, Halley's Bible Handbook, about the Albigensian Crusades. Here's what he says, and he's talking about the Albigensian Christians. They preached against the immoralities of the priesthood. Wow. Pilgrimages, worship of saints and idols. They opposed the, I'm adding the word pompous and pretentious, claims of the Church of Rome. They made great use of the scriptures. By 1167, they, he means the Albigensian Christians, embraced possibly a majority of the population of southern France. What I've read in other books, yeah, they did, definitely. The vast majority of the people were Bible-believing Albigensian Christians in southern France. In 1208, a crusade...
Hold it right there on the 1208. Yeah. We're going to go right into the break, and I really don't want to lose this.
Sure.
Yes, and so absolutely. And what we're looking at then is a revulsion against things like relics and buildings and all of the infrastructure and the facade, folks. But there was a lot of faith down below. Folks, we'll be back right on the after this top of the hour break. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com. You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, August the 5th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I'm joined again today by Daryl Everhart. If you're just joining us in the first hour, we've started into this, what you might consider the bloody history of Papal Rome. If you are Catholic, do not be offended by this broadcast. Listen very carefully. If you get writer's cramp throughout the broadcast, relax, sit back, enjoy, listen. You can always go back and visit the archive page for Become Vocal Local. Listen to these broadcasts in clean, crystal clear audio. Take your time, make notes, pick up all of the books that are offered, that are suggested to you for your study, the DVDs, etc. Utilize the Oracle Broadcasting Network platform to your greatest benefit. But picking up where we left off, we had just we're really looking at a period of time, 1208 to 1226. It's the Albigensian Crusades. Most people have never heard of the Albigensians. Don't even know that we're talking about France, Daryl.
Yeah, as I mentioned to you off during the break, is that most of the stuff I didn't know, except I learned it in the last 10 to 15 years, and most of the stuff about the body of history of Papal Rome, I didn't really learn about, so I'd say about the last 5 years on, when I started especially getting into books about the Jesuit order. But it's so important that we learn this history, because wherever Papal Rome has gone, and just a study of the conquistadors, it was convert or die again. A lot of the Indians, the Hispanic type people that then later came along, most of them were Catholic that did come over, but the thing is that the native people that were there were given a choice of convert or die, whether it was Aztecs and the other Indian groups that were in Mexico, etc. And we see that throughout history. And I remember having a sort of a little debate with a couple Knights of Columbus at a local tire shop around here, and they said, well, we have to be the one true church because we're the biggest. Well, yeah, they are the biggest, and that is true. But that's because number one is they wherever they go, it's convert or die. So they bring in a lot of people that way. And the number two reason that they're the largest is that they wipe out entire competing groups of Christians, such as the Albigensian Christians in southern France. But also there's a lot of parallels between the Albigenses and the Waldenses, and they came very close to wiping out the Waldensian Christians in what you would say southeastern France and northwestern Italy in the Alps. And the only reason that a few of the Waldenses survived is they fled way high up into the mountains. But let's begin with that quote again, because it's an important quote. And he's talking about the Albigensian Christians. This is Halley in his Halley's Bible Handbook, Dr. Henry H. Halley. And he says, they preached against the immoralities of the priesthood, pilgrimages, worship of saints and idols, opposed the claims of the Church of Rome, and made great use of the scriptures. By 1167, they embraced possibly a majority of the population of South France. In 1208, a crusade was ordered by Pope Innocent III. A bloody war of extermination followed, scarcely paralleled in history. Town after town was put to the sword, and the inhabitants murdered without distinction of age or sex. Within 100 years, the Albigenses were utterly rooted out. And when you read some of the books about what went on there, Wow, what they did to the women and stuff we can't even discuss on air. Here's what Frank Chalk and Kurt Johnson.
Well, we're gonna come into another break, so let's pause right there. This is the shorter segment of this hour. And remember, folks, you know, with the Knights of Columbus, don't forget you've got to study up on Cristobal Colón. When he came into the West Indies, he was looking at a rich field full of lots of slaves and lots of natural resources. We'll be back right after this short commercial intermission. Stay with us.
Would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You invest, you buy insurance, you wear your seatbelt, you do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
And we have returned once again
with your host, William Roberts.
Sorry about that. Hate to jump in on top of that. I always like those intros that were prepared for our broadcast. Jeff Thomas is a wonderful man himself. Anyway, let's go back into it again. We have a telephone call. The telephone call-in number is 866-841-1065. And if you'd like to call in throughout the broadcast, you're welcome to do so. Also, area code 512-904-8014. We've got a nice long segment here, about 12 minutes. Daryl, so let's just pick it up right there and continue our study.
Right, and this quote I'm going to give comes from, and this, by the way, is the first time I ever read about the Albigensian Crusades. I think I picked this book up over a dozen years ago, and I probably read this about 10 years ago, and it was the first time I ever found out that, hey, the Papal Rome launched professional armies against, you know, farmers and peasants, Bible-believing Christians. So here's what Frank Chalk and Kurt Jonathan. They're the co-authors of the book, The History and Sociology of Genocide. It was written back in, or published in 1990. Here's what they have to say about these Albigensian Crusades on page 115 of their book. Very revealing quote. Here's what, quote, here, starting the quote, "The Albigensian Crusades slash through the history of France and the Church," and they mean the Roman Catholic Church, "like a gaping wound. From 1208 to 1226, the papacy sent army after army to the south of France to crush the Albigensian heretics," and I have heretics in quotes there, little marks, to punish their supporters. They, the Albigensian Crusades, began with a calculated act of terror, the massacre of Béziers, and of course the large numbers of men, women, and children were butchered there. They ended with the official establishment of the Inquisition, one of the most effective means of thought control that Europe has ever known. They, and he means the papal armies, were completely successful. The losing faith, the Albigensian heresy, was exterminated. Their disappearance as a social group was carefully planned and executed with persistent cruelty. Well, want to move on a little bit? 1236, we find Roman Catholic Crusaders slaughtering Jews again in the, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, the Anjou and Poitou regions of western France. And here's what historian Will Durant tells us. And he's talking about these Roman Catholic Crusaders. They invaded the Jewish settlements of Anjou and Poitou. The Crusaders bade all Jews to be baptized. And when the Jews refused, the Crusaders trampled 3,000 of them to death under their horses' hoofs. Now, I can bring some for some people who might listen, some listeners may be thinking, well, what's any of this got to do with, you know, modern day history? Well, World War II wasn't that long ago, and there was a guy named Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler, when he was questioned about his policy of starting to round up and send Jews off to camps, said, I guess maybe a couple people said, well, why are you doing that? He said, and I'm paraphrasing, oh, what's the big deal? Why is anybody even questioning it? All I'm doing is exactly what the Roman Catholic Church has done for centuries.
Well, that's an important point, too, because in my own research of that time period, the rise and fall, if you will, of the Third Reich, so much of what Adolf and his regime, if you will, did, the German National Socialist Party, were mirror images of what was going on with England and France. The idea of having these various settlements around, they called them the mandates in Syria, up and down the coast of Africa. You know, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so, unfortunately, much of his activity has been painted as evil, if you will, with the capital E-vil there, largely to mask what was being done by other countries at the time, and many of them, the Allies.
Right, and we'll get into that a good bit when we get into World War II. But what I'd like the listeners to do is kind of look for patterns as we're going along here. What template, what blueprint is constantly being used? And we're going to find out that the history of the hatred of Jews that we saw most recently in World War II had been going on for probably at least seven centuries prior to that, where every 50 to 100 years, Roman Catholic crusaders or just mobs would murder Jews for various causes, and we'll see some of them as we go along here. 1243, we have Roman Catholic mobs burn alive all Jews in Belitz, Germany, that's near Berlin. According to historian Will Durant, their alleged crime was some of them had defiled a consecrated host. March 16, 1244, Roman Catholic soldiers burned to death approximately 220 prisoners for their faith 2 weeks after capturing the castle at Montségur in southern France. 1298, Roman Catholic mobs burned alive at the stake all the Jews in Rottingen, Germany. According to Will Durant, their alleged crime, desecrating a sacramental wafer. So we see many times, William, that whenever they kill all of the Jews in a village or whatever, it's because they were, you know, sacrificing Christian children or they had defiled a sacramental wafer or host. or they started the plague, and we'll get into that in a little bit. So let's jump now to the 14th century.
Well, let me jump in a little quickly there, because there's the thing that has gone around on the internet. A lot of people are aware of it, but if we can understand this Kol Nidre vow, this Yom Kippur time period, there's a vow that the Rebbes give to their adherents, if you will. I don't know the proper way of saying it in their faith, but basically you take an oath and this vow, and whatever you may, other oaths that you have to take during the course of the year between Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur are null and void as long as you've gotten your Kol Nidre vow out of the way annually. And so if we can wrap our minds around the idea that, let's say you have a different faith from the Catholic, Roman Catholic, the Catholicism, and you live in one of the areas where Catholicism is the main deal, especially at this time period in history, it was to your own peril to be outwardly holding on to your old faith. So many people had to become outward Catholics, but inward they remained whatever faith they had in their hearts.
Right. And there is a book that written by a Roman Catholic. He's an award-winning journalist named John Cornwell. And I'll just give the name of it because they can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's called Hitler's Pope, The Secret History of Pius XII. And he gets into that book. He covers very well this long-running history of hatred of Jews that manifested itself. And he comes right out and says that Eugenio Pacelli, who became Pope Pius XII, by the way, the guy that helped negotiate the concordat with Nazi Germany, he was also papal nuncio there at Berlin, that he, very, very anti-Jewish. So this thing has been a long-running thing, and even Roman Catholic writers have brought this out. This,
you go back to the Bible itself, you know, and look at the text. You can use the book for good, and you can use the book for evil. There's no question about it. And so taking these various scriptures and the whole crucifixion account in mind, you can use this as a weapon or a tool if you are in the process or the business of subjection and dominion. And so we see that probably being held largely throughout all of these past 2,000 years. Folks, we'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us, visiting with Darrell Eberhard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we have returned, speaking today with our very special guest, Daryl Eberhardt, a researcher, man of knowledge, book learned, and has many, 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 many friends and acquaintances along the same line in this research. And that really helps, because when you get an opportunity, as we are this morning, to bring research together, new information comes out, new books, new sources, it's so valuable. So, folks, we always like to listen to everybody, read everything, believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research. And I think that's why it's so valuable to have Daryl come on, because he does get cite his sources. He lets you know where he's coming from and where you can go and read more about it. But Daryl, let's go back, pick it up right where we left off. We're just coming out of the 1298 period and moving ahead in time.
Yeah, we're going to jump into the 14th century. And I just want to say one thing before we do, and that is I'm a mediocre researcher. I really owe what I know to a lot of folks like Chuck Wilcox, Eric John Phelps, John Daniel. We mentioned his book, The Grand Design Exposed. When I read these guys' books and you start putting it all together and then trying to pick up some additional books, other resources, I really admire these folks that have, done like decades worth of research. So anyway, let's jump into the 14th century, because truth is important, and history, historical truth, is very important. And again, we're seeing this pattern here as we jump into the 14th century of this killing of not only of Jews and Bible-believing Christians as groups, mass murder, but we're also going to see more and more. I get into assassinations and that, where anybody, whether Roman Catholic or non-Roman Catholic, who tries to call the system to account for its corruptness, its debauchery of its priesthood, you also get murdered. So let's start here, April 26, 1343. Again, we find Roman Catholic mobs. They're burning to death all of the Jews in Germersheim, Germany. Then in 1348 to 1349, the Roman Catholic Church, the hierarchy, blames the Jews for the Black Death, and most likely that was the bubonic plague. Here's a quote from author Dave Hunt. He tells us this. Accused of causing the Black Death, Jews were rounded up, and he means by Roman Catholic mobs, and hanged, burned, and drowned by the thousands in revenge. And then in 1389, we find Roman Catholic mobs murdering 3,000 Jews in Prague when they refused to be baptized. Again, this convert or die. And many times people, including Orthodox Christians and Jews, refuse to convert, and so they're murdered.
Well, some of this history, for the audience, it gets kind of heavy. But when we think about this this recurring theme, this idea of burning and burning people to death, this Holocaust, this live burning sacrifice,
yes.
Even here in the in 2001, September the 11th, we visited with this live burning sacrifice in New York City. It's a recurrent theme. It runs throughout all time, folks. It seems to plague every continent, every tongue, tribe, and creed. So when you see something that repeats that often in history, oft times it's the same mentality behind it.
Okay, let's take a look now at the 15th century, and now we're going to get a little bit more personal. We're getting into individuals. It's one thing to say they killed 3,000 here, 20,000 here, but every death, Stalin used to brag, the death of one person is a tragedy, but a million's just a statistic. So let's look at the 15th century. July 6th, 1415, John Hus, and of course in the English spelling is H-U-S-S, but in the Czech it's J-A-N, and in last name H-U-S. He's a Czech Roman Catholic priest. We're going to find out a lot of people murdered throughout history were Catholic priests and monks who tried to reform the system from within. So this Czech Roman Catholic priest, John Hus, for years, and he's also a reformer, was first excommunicated, and then shortly thereafter was burned at the stake. So they did the same thing to Girolamo Savonarola later. On July 6, 1415, on the orders of his own church, the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, here's what he had done. He had vigorously opposed auricular confession. And of course, he just like Luther and others, Charles Chinnicky, you had mentioned, that we've had before, I guess, mentioned. Charles Chinnicky was a friend of Abraham Lincoln, an ex-priest. He opposed auricular confession, papal indulgences and corruption, masses for the dead, etc. He attended, interestingly, as they promised to Luther also, a guaranteed safe passage, you know, to the Council of Constance in order to defend his beliefs. However, his safe passage was revoked, and he was condemned and executed without getting a fair chance to present a defense of his beliefs. And we're going to find out later that those people who followed him were called Hussites, and the Roman Catholic Church sent professional army, again, after professional army into Bohemia, at least five crusades into Bohemia to kill what became known as the Protestant Hussites. So here we start up now 1429.
Because I'm trying to feed the audience at the same time that I'm the host.
Sure.
But I'm listening, I'm hearing things. When we talk about auricular confession, and confession in general, the concept behind that, you've been in the NSA, you understand intelligence and intelligence gathering. Speak towards that auricular confession and how that can be so important.
Sure, and I should have said, because even one of my best friend's wife, and he and she both came out of the Roman Catholic Church just about a little over a year ago, she said, well, if you say auricular, make sure you let the people know. That means, that's a fancy word for into the ear. That's where we get the word aural, like aural comprehension for linguists. But auricular confession is the confession made by a penitent. And of course, you have it in both the Roman Catholic Church. I think the Eastern Orthodox does too. But it's confession to an authorized priest. And if you make a full or honest or open confession, then he will absolve you of your sins. By the way, none of which is biblical, and all of this auricular confession came straight out of the old Babylonian priesthood. It serves two purposes. And you mentioned one, you mentioned my background in intelligence working for the NSA. Well, number one, auricular confession is probably the greatest intelligence device that has ever been come up, that anyone ever came up with. You could put the NSA, the CIA, the KGB, former KGB, now FSB, MI6, put them all together, Mossad, and they wouldn't have 1/100th, maybe 1/1000th of the intelligence gathering capabilities of the Roman Catholic Church through auricular confession. The second purpose, obviously, that it control, manifests itself in is control. It's a tremendous control device, because if you think of it, like the Jesuits especially, and they always made sure that they were the father confessors and top advisors to kings, queens, kings' mistresses, the top generals, prime ministers, and of course, when you are in that position, having these people confess their deepest secrets and faults to you, then obviously you can manage, direct, and control and steer them in whatever direction generally that you want. A good example was, I think it was one of the King Louis, I think it was the 16th, I'm not sure, 14th or 16th, somewhere around there, but he had a Jesuit father confessor named Pierre Lachaise. And Lachaise wanted to slaughter the French Huguenots, Protestants in France. And Louis didn't want to do it, you know, because number one is, you know, they were merchants and everything, and he'd be hurting his own country. And the father confessor suggested to him, well, you know, those affairs you've been having, and some suggest even within the family. But anyway, he was definitely having affairs with other women. Does the queen know about all that?
Exactly.
and he just thought for a second and, okay, we'll launch the another little crusade there against the French Huguenots, and I think at that time about 500,000 of them, 500,000 got slaughtered. But it just shows you the tremendous power through the confessional.
Absolutely. You know, if we think about, well, if you have nothing to hide, you know, you've got nothing to fear. You know, there's this always this repeating theme, folks. The idea of being, even a psychiatrist, you know, you lie down on the couch there and just tell me all of your secrets and tell me about your youth and tell me about your past. And then you database all this. We've been visiting on a regular basis with Vicki Davis. But when we put all that into your medical records, you put all that into your computer database, you put it on the back of your driver license, folks, and you're in deep trouble. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, and our call-in number is 866-841-1065. Visiting today with our very special guest, Daryl Everhart. And as we're going into the break, we're talking about this end of the year, this auricular confession. And so many times, folks, if you can understand and wrap your mind around this, sitting in the confessional, you know, you feel like you want to turn your life around. You feel as though maybe you've made mistakes and you'd like to change and get your own spiritual house in order. And so you make these confessions to the priest. But we hear so often about pedophile priests and problems in the priesthood, with the priesthood, celibacy being a challenge as it is. But here you have the opportunity for a priest to either guide a conversation in private from one side of a screen to another with a young person, perhaps a young girl or young boy. They have been, they're coming into puberty, for instance, and they're starting to have thoughts, you know, and it just opens the door to disaster. Perhaps you've got a young wife that is, her husband is overseas or works out, and she's got these thoughts. It's just an opportunity for all kinds of corruption. You've got people who have stolen something. They feel bad about it. The opportunities there are just absolutely rife. But that's just one of the horrors of this process. Another one of them, well, I'll let Daryl explain it.
Right. Before I mention papal indulgences, since you brought that up about the confession, they can Google search this. There's a tremendous book written by a man who was in the Catholic Church for 50 years, 25 years as a priest, and he talks about the horrible abuses in the confessional, and the name of the book is The Priest, The Woman, and The Confessional. The Priest, The Woman, and The Confessional. Just do a Google-style search on it, by Charles Chinnicky. And that's spelled Chinnicky. And boy, the abuses are tremendous. And by the way, there's another book that I have written by a Roman Catholic. Again, I'm just going to mention it's called Lucifer's Lodge. I think his last name is Kennedy. But it details, he says that the pedophile priest problem is not the biggest problem in the Catholic Church. He says that the abuse of women and girls and even nuns is probably an even much larger problem. But papal indulgences, wow, that's when it got Luther all charged up. And, of course, we see John Huss here. And papal indulgences were just basically licensed to sin. I mean, you could have, they had different prices. If you had raped or murdered, you could have murdered 10 people, and if you got an indulgence, paid so much money. And they had the actual prices set on them, William, that, you know, if, I don't know what it was in those days, but let's say $50 for rape, $100 for a murder. And you just got one of these pieces of paper, and it absolved you of your sin. You just paid money. And so these guys went around from village to village selling these indulgences, and certain people like Martin Luther later and John Huss or Huss earlier, they challenged the church on this. And boy, anything that, and papal indulgences is a big moneymaker. And you challenge their, you want to get killed fast, William, challenge the Catholic Church on it, something that it's making a lot of money on.
Well, you know, the whole thing, it just gets more corrupt the deeper you study it. But if we can understand even the Lord Chancellor, the Chancery Court, if you will, in England, and today, you know, we've got the three E's of sustainable development, economy, environment, and equity, the idea of equity, what is equitable. The whole idea of license, my friends, it's basically a license is in the mind of the state or the statist. It's basically paying an indulgence for the privilege of doing something that would otherwise be unlawful. So we've got a long history in Juris Civilis, the law of the Roman state, Roman law, that comes on us and at us. And in the United States of America, Louisiana, and other places, Louisiana primarily, they still look to this source of law. So, but the idea of paying money for a redemption of a sin that you've done, you know, and they define the sins for you, but that whole idea of the indulgence, it was so repugnant to the people that when Luther and others stepped up and said, hey, whoa, wait a minute, let's take a look at this institution, they got converts and they got them by the droves.
Right, and another thing he condemned was masses for the dead. And as I said earlier, I live in a heavily or predominantly Roman Catholic area, and I've gone to a lot of military funerals in the past. My goodness, of course, most of them were for Roman Catholics. They always have these envelopes there where you put money in for masses to be said for dead people in purgatory. In other words, you're trying to pay and pray. Very unbiblical, by the way, folks. You can find it in the Bible. Trying to pay and pray their Uncle Louis or and Aunt Louise out of purgatory. And it's sad, you know, because you see some of these people in some parts of here, at least in southwest central Pennsylvania, you know, with the steel industry and everything that left and the coal industry suffering in some areas, a lot of these people are very poor and putting in, you know, their last couple bucks to try to pray someone out of purgatory. In my mind, that's just, it's pretty wicked that people would be taking money from these folks to for something that, you know, is not even in the Bible. But anyway, because of John Huss, a lot of the people in Bohemia became what you would call Protestants. They were called Hussites. And in 1429, remember, John Huss was martyred in 1415, Pope Martin V orders the King of Poland to exterminate all of these Christian Protestant Hussites in Bohemia. And I didn't find this out until probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I saw a DVD of an actual guy who's a Czech. He speaks wonderful English. But he said at least 5 papal armies were sent to exterminate the Hussites. And most of those Protestant Hussites in Bohemia, they were eventually murdered or driven into exile. So an area that was probably had become 90-95% Protestant, you know, it was basically Bohemia was left a wasteland. 1477, we have Pope Sixtus IV. He organizes a crusade against the Waldensian Christians. Remember, these are also called the Vaudois in the French language. They're in southern France, actually south, very southeastern corner of France, and northwestern Italy. And again, as I've mentioned earlier, they almost succeeded in totally exterminating these Waldensian Bible-believing Christians. The only reason that a few survived, as opposed to the Albigensian Christians, was these some of these Waldensian Christians, by families and some by villages, fled up deep into the Alps, where the armies either didn't want to follow or would have had a great difficulty in following them there. Well, 1481, we get the kickoff of the Spanish Inquisition, and this is the Roman Catholic Church's hierarchy choreographing an orgy of torture and burning people alive, as you mentioned, the Holocaust. They really seem to get off on burning people alive and often using wet and green wood. And it's called the Inquisition. Of course, you have the Romish Inquisition and the Spanish Inquisition. It's basically the Spanish is just the one being run by the hierarchy of the Spanish Roman Catholic Church.
And this, and was, the, this was the Dominicans, was it not?
Oh, yes. And though it was aimed initially and primarily at Jews and Muslims, the Inquisition also targeted those Bible-believing Christians whose beliefs were not completely in line with the Roman Catholic Church's doctrines and practices. As a matter of fact, Catholics fell under this. If you had, let's say, a bishop, and by the way, a lot of these bishops owned land and that, or a cardinal, and they were a wealthy Roman Catholic in your area, a nobleman, and he probably was one of the most devout, loyal sons of the church. But if you wanted his wife and his land, guess what? You just had someone accuse him. And, of course, all accusations, they were never allowed to see their accusers. Someone accused him of heresy, and boom, all of a sudden he's killed. And his sons and daughters cannot inherit his lands because he's a heretic now. And guess what? The bishop or, you know, wherever one of his lackeys gets that all of that land and probably the wife also. So,
well, let's dwell just briefly on this idea of land and how important all of this is, folks. And if you realize that we're now at 14, in the 1400s, we've got an institution that has for 1,000 years, basically people will leave their estates, people will donate monies and they will buy the estates. The various monastic orders that came up through feudalism would buy lands and add to their lands, and people would donate more lands to the good friars, you know, and all that. We're talking about something here, massive land holding, not just in Western Europe, but today all over the planet, on all of the continents, massive amounts of land being held here under the heading of the church.
Yeah. And just the first 2 years, now we're talking 1481 to 1483, at least 2,000 individuals were burned alive. And here's what author Dave Hunt, in his book A Woman Rides the Beast, tells us. In Spain alone, the number of condemned exceeded 3 million, with about 300,000 burned at the stake, and he means during the entire length of the Spanish Inquisition. You think about that. Spain never really recovered from that. They lost a lot of their merchants, a lot of Jews and Muslims that were in the country, fled the country. It's not good for a country, a Roman Catholic country, to start wiping out all your merchants, and that is what happened in France with the French.
We so often talk about France, we talk about Germany in history and England, but we very rarely ever mention Spain. Spain has kind of been put under a blanket, folks. We'll be back right on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products. Emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
And we have returned for our last segment with Daryl Everhart today. And callers, if you'd like to call in, you're certainly welcome to do so at 866-841-1065. If you have a question you'd like to pose to Daryl, I'm sure he'd be glad to attempt answering it. We don't know everything here, but we do the best we can. And if you have questions that we haven't been able to address during the conversation, or you want to find out more about the research that Daryl has done, I was remiss in the first hour not getting this website out, but Daryl's website is www.toughissues.org. That's www.toughissues, spell it just like it sounds, .org. And Daryl, tell us a little bit about your website and why the audience would want to visit there today.
Well, I've got about 41 articles up there. One time I had 106 that the website got messed with. But anyway, I've got 41 back up there. And there's one I'd like them to read, and it's called Bloody Hands and Wicked Hearts. It's under the title, just short title, Bloody Hands. And they'll find a lot of the stuff we're talking about today. Although that one deals mainly with genocide, God willing, we're going to be giving a lot more as we go through this Missing Gaps in History on your broadcast, because we're also covering a lot here about even the assassination of individuals and that, like when we get into President Abraham Lincoln later on and the assassination of John F. Kennedy, because there are certainly a lot of papal ties to both of those assassinations and a lot of parallels. So hopefully we'll be covering a lot of missing gaps in history as we walk through this. Do you want to get back into the Spanish Inquisition a little bit?
Well, just before we do, and again, I hate to I hate to come right up to the last minute of the broadcast without thanking you for taking your time to come on and share your research with the audience. And certainly, listeners, Daryl's going to be coming back. Hopefully we can get him to come on Wednesday mornings for a couple of weeks, and we'll go through this. And so between now and next week, if you visit the website and you generate some questions, you'd like to talk to Daryl, this is your opportunity. There, none of us have any guarantees. I could fall over in the yard tomorrow, and that would be the end of this broadcast, or Daryl could come up against some kind of a resistance, I guess would be a polite way of saying it. So we want to take advantage of the researchers that are available out there. And so if you do have questions, don't hesitate. You can call in through the broadcast at 866-841-1065. Go up and visit Daryl's website. It's www.toughissues.org. Expand your knowledge a little bit. All together too often we hear Jews, 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 you know. But there are definitely lots of Jewish people in positions of power, and that's indisputable. But at the same time, if we understand some of the history that's going on, we might understand who's helping to keep those people in power and oftentimes actually put them in power. But let's go ahead and continue. Pick it up right there.
Right. And by the way, I'm 62 years old, folks, but my heart is strong. So if I drop over with a heart attack or something, be very suspicious, because I can go on very long walks and that, and I don't even have any problems there. But anyway, here's what Ron Hambry wrote about the Spanish Inquisition. He's got a little book I've got called A Daily Joy that helps me walk through the Bible each year. He says, one of history's most malevolent persons died on this day, he means September 16th, in 1498. Tomas de Torquemada, by the way, 1420 to 1498, as Inquisitor General of Spain, that's when he was born and died, as Inquisitor General of Spain, ordered more than 10,000 people to be burned at the stake because they didn't agree with his religious views. Well, it actually went much further than that. Back to the quote. He used the Inquisition for religious and political reasons, believing punishment of, I added the word so-called heretics and non-Christians, chiefly Jews and Muslims, was the only way to achieve political unity in Spain. Greatly feared and hated by millions, he persuaded Spanish King Ferdinand and Isabella, the Queen, to rid Spain of Jews. More than a million families, let me repeat that, more than a million families were driven from Spain during that time. The country never recovered from the resulting decline. Again, that's from A Daily Joy, page 272. And I'd like to tell the dear listeners that the Inquisition, again, was not used only for religious and political purposes. It was a major mechanism of loot and plunder. The lands and possessions of Jews, Muslims, Bible-believing Christians, and as I had mentioned earlier, even some very wealthy Roman Catholics.
Well, even the kings and the, you know, and the princes, if you will, and so on, we're not exempt from this. I mean, if you didn't cross your T's, folks, in the shape that they wanted it, and if you didn't dot your I's, this was an open invitation. And so it was like a cloud hanging over everyone's head, the sword of Damocles, and you dare not have it stop over your head.
Or if you had a very beautiful wife that someone wanted, or you had a lot of wealthy lands and estates, you didn't have to be even bucking the system. You just had to own those things or have those things, and if someone else wanted them, the Inquisition was a good way to get them. And again, many of the Christians that were killed were accused of being heretics simply because they held to the Bible as a higher authority than the papacy, or because they wouldn't submit to corrupt papal authority. And again, Peter DeRosa really brings out how corrupt many of these popes were. And again, for centuries, Bible-believing Christians targeted by papal Rome for destruction. Men, women, and children exterminated like rats, as entire villages and regions were targeted, and papal armies exterminated again an entire Christian population group, the Albigensian Christians in southern France. And torture, brutality, mass murder were the order of the day. They were the standard tools of the so-called Inquisition. And that's why we better not forget the Inquisition, because why is it important to know about it? It never was really totally taken away. It changed its name several times.
We just had the hate crimes legislation coming in, and that's just an opening door. That's the nose of the camel here. We have the same problem in Canada to the north. We have the same problem in Germany and other places in Europe. This is not something that is in our past, folks. We look at this in the rearview mirror, but it's lying straight ahead.
Oh, the harmony And hate crimes laws in Europe and Canada are coming very soon. They've been trying to push it through the U.S. Congress, and sooner or later they'll get it. And it's what it's designed is to shut off free speech, and especially any criticism of the higher powers, whether they be a political or ecclesiastical. That's what it is really aimed at. It's not aimed at protecting what they give you the veneer or front of, oh, we want to protect gays and we want to protect blacks. No, they could care less about those groups. What they want to do is to protect the power and rich globalist elite and basically the top player on there, the Jesuit-controlled papal Rome and their lackeys in various governments. And it's pretty soon it's going to become, you won't be having free speech on the internet, et cetera. And that's why it's important, William, for us to get the truth out about history, because again, they use the same blueprints and templates over and over and over again. And if we don't learn these lessons, if we don't reach out to people with the truth, we're going to have to change things from the bottom, because it's not going to change from the top down. They control all the highest levels of the federal law enforcement. They control the intelligence community. They control the banking community. So don't look for the CIA and the FBI highest echelons to be cleaned out from having a good president or something, because the president's just a figurehead. Just like the white pope is a figurehead, the black pope is the power behind the throne. And we need to realize it's only by getting truth out to people and changing hearts one by one, reaching out to the people that are in our area of influence that we can talk to. That's the way we affect change. And because we're not going to do it through CNN or Fox or CBS, NBC, ABC, because they control all of those places.
Absolutely, and that control has been going on for a long time, ever since the invention of the television and the radio and things like that. But don't forget that homosexuality, lesbianism, the resurgence of the division between Negroes and whites, all through the Martin Luther King period, all of this has been fomented, agitated, and made possible, all looking towards today, when we can use these various groups in this pluralistic society as whipping boys, and we can play one off the other constantly back and forth, always advancing this agenda. And so these animosities, and they're natural animosities, they're normal animosities, but these animosities then become the reason for the day, the raison d'etre, or whatever you want to call it, the reason for these various and sundry pieces of legislation that have just completely eviscerated our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. Now, we've got about 1 minute, so just a brief closing comment, Daryl, and then we'll have to let you go as we close out today's broadcast.
And I just want to, again, encourage the listeners, go up on websites like mine, and if you find an article that you like, print copies off and give them out to folks. And excuse me, and take advantage, maybe get a hold of that DVD, The Inquisition, that I mentioned, and share it with people. That's the main thing that we can do right now, is we can be, I hate to use the term, but information warriors. We're in an information war right now, and they control the highest levels of the media. We need to get truth out on the modes like the broadcast here by William.
We're flat out of time. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, audience, for listening and being there. We'll be back again tomorrow with Vicki Davis. Till then,
taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.